I tell you, Julian, a hounds and horses man on the subject of begats and bloodline is the lexicographer's definition of a person gripped by an obsession. Osgood Banter raised the curtain on the coach window and surveyed the passing countryside. The turf fanatics and the Mayfair matchmakers pale by comparison. One talk of sires and dams starts up with dear cousin necks. All hope of pleasant conversation is lost. We were en route from London to the wilds of Sussex, where Banter's cousin by marriage, Anaximander Silforth, had apparently got into a spot of bother over a missing canine. I did not ride to hounds, was no fancier of the racetrack, and was blessedly beyond the notice of Mayfair hostesses, despite my brother's ducal title. I'd simply wanted an excuse to quit London, and Banter's cousin had provided it. My job is to find the dog?
Anaximander might prefer the term hound, my lord. Thales was not yet standing at stud.
Does Silforth name his children after philosophers as well? The coach hit a rut, and I again cursed myself for not making the journey on horseback. My mount, Atlas, was up to the distance, but my eyes were not up to the bright sunshine of an English late summer day. Just one of many disabilities bequeathed to me by my years in the military. At least I could, to some extent, protect my eyesight with blue-tinted spectacles.
"The girls are named after goddesses," Banter said. "Kings for the lads. Those were Lizzie's choices. And in this, at least, Silforth does not gainsay his wife. Makes me glad I'm a plain, unassuming Osgood."
Said Osgood tended to lankiness, and his features bore a certain elfin fineness. Merry eyes, ready smile, slightly pointed chin, and brows that arched to give him a quizzical air. He was neither plain nor unassuming, but rather fashionable, witty, and nobody's fool. Also my brother's lover. Awareness of Arthur's relationship with Banter had come upon me as one of those insights all but obvious in hindsight. Arthur, his Grace of Waltham, had friends, but no lady friends of the sort dukes often maintained on quiet streets at the edges of elegant neighbourhoods. Arthur socialised as befit his station, but he also ruralised far more than most peers. Growing up, I'd believed Arthur isolated by the expectations weighing upon him, but more than a mere dukedom had set my brother apart. He and Banter were planning a version of a grand tour on the continent, though I doubted much sightseeing would occur until a good month into the journey. But first, this business with the missing Thales must be resolved. "What's so special about this beast?" I asked, when the coach was racketing along once again.
"Nex bred Thales himself, and knows the bloodlines back into doggy antiquity. Thales is a handsome specimen, big for a foxhound, and apparently has the stamina of a Spartan, and an oracular nose. If Thales says Reynard headed for the river, that's as good as holy writ for the rest of the pack."
"Do you ride to hounds?" The Banter family estate was a pleasant hour's ride from Caldecott Hall. By rural reckoning, that made us neighbours. Banter was 5 years my senior, however, and thus we'd not moved in the same circles. Then, too, Banter had not served in uniform.
"I was made to join the hunt, of course. Papa expected his sons to trot dutifully in his footsteps. Don't care for it myself. You?"
Clearly the topic was sensitive. Getting tipsy and galloping hell-bent across the countryside can be whacking good fun. I was about 12 years old when I realised that the hunt often galloped over land that wasn't yet frozen. Toward the end of the season, they took a few shortcuts over freshly tilled fields, and even my late father found that arrogance the outside of too much.
"But what could a tenant say," Banter murmured, "when it's his own landlord riding roughshod over the turnips, and the landlord's brother sits on the magistrate's bench?"
My sympathies were not with the turnips, though I well knew the value of a winter crop. My sympathy was honestly with the fox, who was generally engaged in nothing more criminal than trying to feed her family. True, a poorly maintained henhouse was a temptation no self-respecting fox would resist.